The Art of Deception with Tanya Moore on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, I'm Tanya Moore, and I am an actor, comedian, and your granddad's favourite bald babes. And this time, 2 years ago, I, along with most of Britain, was glued to my TV watching The Traitors. Now, even though I am 100% faithful, I know a few fellow comedians that would make incredible traitors. And now, I am on a mission to find out who. This is The Art of Deception. Through a series of challenges, I am going to test these liars to see if they can bluff convincingly, detect the truth, and ultimately lie their way to victory. Joining us as our star liars this week, we have Elf Lyons, a brilliant comedian, theatre maker, and performer who The Telegraph named as one of the top 50 funniest comedians of the 21st century. I'm not jealous, don't worry about it. Her work to date has included enactments of classical ballets, musicals of the economy, immersive horror shows, and even lectures at venues such as the Barbican on the Surrealist Movement. And also joining me today is stand-up comedian, podcast host, and children's author, Alasdair Beckett King. In his books and his stand-up, Alasdair creates amazing fictional worlds you want to believe. So, it's going to be really hard to tell if he's lying today. Welcome to the show, guys. How are you both?
Very happy to be alive.
It's hard to top that. I don't feel quite as happy to be alive, but I'm happy to be here.
Wow, Alasdair, why are you not happy to be alive?
I feel like I'm sad that I'm not the top 50 comedians of the 21st century.
Same.
I feel a bit more sort of 16th century.
A lot of people on Reddit were not happy that I was in the top 50 comedians of the 21st. I didn't know what Reddit was, but there's something, suddenly your friends just sending you screenshots of what men who've asked for pictures of your toes are saying about you online.
No.
Wait, are these friends if they're sending you these screenshots?
Yeah, but I think they're trying to keep me humble.
There's a lot of backstabbing in comedy, isn't there? Oh, I just happened across this screenshot of someone being horrible about you. Thought you'd want to see it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And Elf, you've got a tour coming up, right?
I do. I have a tour next year.
Oh, my God. Excited. How's prep going for it?
At the moment, the prep is resting. The prep is resting because you figure out how constantly tired you are when you're touring, and you sort of spend your whole life in travel lodges or bizarre hotels where you're like, I'm certain someone died in here. So at the moment, I'm mainly just watching Netflix television shows, which at the moment I'm either watching shows about really gory, horrific violence or just really immensely unbelievable romantic comedies. And I wish there could be a merge of the two.
Maybe you could make the merge of the two.
Yeah.
Can you tell us much about the tour at all?
Yes, so I interpret that as explain what a tour is.
No,
we know
the
what
show.
A tour is. So the show is it's me doing horses, and it's me pretending to be lots of different horses from history, and it's predominantly mime and audience interaction and about play, and I'm a horse the entire way through. And I, yes, with your facial expressions, I'm surprised that it was a bigger hit as it was.
No, I'm excited to hear.
I was really thrilled with how much fun it was and how well it went. But so taking it all around Australia next year, and then I'm taking it all around the UK from May to June.
But I'm excited to hear the types of horses that are going to come.
Yes. So I play a war horse.
Are you miming them now? Because the listener can't tell. Is it you're not really putting a lot of effort in. You're
no.
Just sort of sitting down at the moment.
Yeah, the whole show's with the lights off. It's just the audience have to use their imagination.
Very low budget mime.
Yeah, my mime has famously failed on the radio. yeah, but I do a war horse. I do Pegasus. I do a dressage horse. There's a Grand National horse. There's all sorts of horses. And at the end, people become their own horses. And the stage ends up becoming like, in Edinburgh, the stage was, I think one day the management of Pleasance had to get involved because so many audience members came on stage. They were like, we've got too many people on stage for the, it was breaching health and safety.
Oh. No.
Which was really cool. I think like if you can get an audience to feel comfortable enough to come and play with you, I was thrilled. So
yeah.
I'm just very content and happy. And there's no mess in this show.
Oh, I'm excited.
I was gonna say it's unusual you have to muck out a comedy show afterwards, but
yeah.
It sounds like it was
no mess in this show.
Okay.
Because mime horse mess
is invisible.
You're shitting up the place. Mm-hmm. I love that. And Alasdair, you've got another comedy book coming, another murder mystery children's book on its way.
Yes. So I write a series of whodunits for 8 to 12 year olds, but grown ups can read them. They're very very, very easy, and the grown-ups who read them to their kids seem to enjoy them. And the third one came out a few months ago, and the fourth one I'm just finishing now, so that'll come out next year.
Ooh.
And then I think there's going to be a fifth one after that. And I don't know what happens in that one because I haven't written it.
Have you thought about it at least?
Yeah, I think it's going to be set in a theatre. Because I love whodunits and murder mysteries and stuff. And it's nice because writing it for kids, it's not a parody. Like, it's a proper murder mystery.
Yeah.
But you get to sort of introduce the conventions and be like, well, this is how murder mysteries work. And these are the kinds of cliched places where murder mysteries happen. So you get to sort of tick off all the cliches and do a little joke about them. So it's kind of cheating because you get to do the cliche and be like, yeah, but actually I was being quite meta about that. I'm actually doing that ironically. But also I am just doing all the cliches. A theatre, a museum, a ship, all the classic places a murder could happen.
Ooh.
And kids love murder. When they go into schools, they're like, who likes murder? They're like, whoa! They go nuts for murder.
That's a weird sentence. Kids love murder?
They love murder. They love murder. You can't deny it.
Have you ever asked the kids to make suggestions for what your next book should be about?
Yeah, they love violence. Yeah. They love the violent side of it. And I have to be like, no, it's like you solve a murder. And they're like, what if it was just all murders with no solving?
Yeah.
I'm like, let's compromise. One murder and then we solve it. And then, you know, calm is restored.
Okay, wait. So before I move on, just so I'm getting this right, you go to schools?
Sometimes. When invited.
When invited.
I'm not just standing at the gates with a stack of books. Come on, kids.
That man selling books from his coat again.
He's talking about murders, and kids want murders,
who
no
likes
solving.
Murders? I don't know. Obviously, they invite you in. It's like an assembly. It's fine. It's legit. Okay. And then then to sort of gauge the tone of the kids, I'm like, you know, who likes murder? And all the hands go up.
Right. I think it's I used to be a secondary school teacher, and it was so surprising how you think things that kids like year seven, which is 11-year-olds, we were teaching them Macbeth. And you think kids won't get Macbeth. And then when you attach it from the war side and Macduff and betrayal and the murders, they were so involved. I've never seen kids more engaged with something. And you're like, oh, right, actually kids can really take quite a lot of quite intense, serious subject matter.
I'm quite concerned about the youngsters. But that leads us into our first game, guys. Ooh. Our first challenge is called When I Was a Youngster. Now, a good liar starts young. So this challenge is all about childhood deceit. The liars will both claim to have told three lies in their youth, but two of their stories will be completely made up. And my job is to decipher the lie they actually told. And my job is to decipher the lie they actually told from the lies they are lying about.
Okay.
So.
Very straightforward, Alistair. And not confusing as a premise.
But
so there's the real lie and then there's the lying lies.
Then there's two lies.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You want three lies?
I would love your three lies,
Each
Alistair.
Of them more plausible than the last?
Go
All
for
right.
It.
The first lie I told was essentially my first and last prank as a kid. We convinced a friend of ours that we'd found a stash of drugs in there's a patch of scrubland near where we lived called the Scrambles. And I think at that time I was under the impression that drug dealers were like pirates and sort of buried. I don't think I knew a lot about drugs. I was so they would bury them in the ground, and so we convinced a friend that we'd found a stash, and I made a bag full of fake drugs based, I think, probably on like Bart Simpson smoking a joint posters that I'd seen. I don't think I'd ever seen any real drugs in real life, and so we created an elaborate narrative to prank a friend.
Okay.
And then afterwards, as soon as it was revealed, I felt really guilty.
Okay, that's lie.
That's my first
one.
Lie. My second lie is I was late for school one morning, and the excuse I came up with, and a bit younger this time, was that I was late because I had been eaten on the way to school. I'm overstating that slightly. I was crossing, same patch of scrubland from the other lie, the Scrambles, and I said my foot went down a rabbit hole as I was running, because I didn't want to be late, so I was running. And this is, you'll spot where I went wrong. My foot went into the rabbit hole and a crocodile bit it. So that was why I was late. That's what I said. And my other lie was slightly later this time. I tried, I think largely unsuccessfully, to convince friends that Tony Soprano was based on my dad. He was also called Tony.
Okay.
And he went to America in the 70s. And I was like, no, when he was there, he met the writer of The Sopranos, and it made such an impression on him that But my dad's an English teacher, so he's not even a gangster. So
does he even look like
Tony? He looks nothing like Tony. But he probably should go to therapy, so he's got that, you know.
Okay, so he's a little bit angry.
Doesn't really know anything about Italian meats.
Okay.
But yeah, those are my lies.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to say Elf. What do you think is his first lie?
I think the first lie is the first one.
You think the lie is the real one, the real lie is the first one?
No. Oh, I believe the crocodile is the real lie.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
There was no blood coming out of my leg or anything. Because to be clear, I hadn't been bitten by a crocodile.
Wait,
that was the lie.
So I'm confused. We're trying to find the thing that he definitely did lie about.
Yes.
One of them isn't actually true.
One of them is true. Two of them are fake.
My dad actually is Tony Soprano. That's what I'm here to tell you.
I just want full clarification.
My dad is Tony Soprano.
So as a child, we told a lie about something, but the lie is not true. But the truth is that we told that lie.
Yes.
So I do believe that you were not bitten by a crocodile, but I believe that you lied and said that was the case. Okay.
That was the case. Okay. See, now, when he was saying it, the reason why I would have gone with that at the first time is because that's something I would have done as a child. So I just had, that was just resonating really hard. And I was like, oh, wow, we're the same person. Alistair, are you me? Yeah. But actually,
a lot of people confuse us on the circuit. They're like, I booked ABK, but I actually wanted Tanya Moore.
I love that.
Damn, what a mistake.
I'm
always getting emails
for
you.
Listen, I actually am going to go with the first lie.
Interesting.
I tell you why. I feel like as a child, that's just the type of thing you would do. Your mind would just go there and you'd make it up and you'd drag your friends in because you want to see how far it can go.
Yeah.
An elaborate fake drug dealer plot.
Yeah.
Shall I reveal the truth? Or does it happen later in the
show?
No. All right, I'll reveal it now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the true lie was the first one. You're right.
Come on!
Wow.
I did an elaborate prank on my friend. I feel super guilty about it now. I felt super guilty the very instant the prank was revealed.
Yeah.
And now I hate pranks. I've never pranked since. I never will. But the lie that I didn't tell about being bitten by a crocodile was told by somebody in my school.
Ooh.
So I cheated with the second one. So that was a real lie. Yeah. But
just
it's not
your
lie
real
that
lie.
Told.
Oh, that's a very smart way of engaging with this game.
Cheating.
And having authenticity, but then not feeling the guilt of lying.
But none of you believe for a second that I tried to pretend Tony Soprano was based on my dad. Which, to be fair, like based on when the Sopranos came to the UK, I would have been 16.
I don't think you could sell Tony Soprano. Respectfully, babes.
My dad's cool compared to me. If you're imagining a sort of elder wizard, he's nothing like that. He's much more like Tony Soprano than I am.
I was imagining an elder wizard. All right, Elf, give us your three lies.
Now, I sent these, and then I've forgotten which ones I've sent. Are they on a piece of paper?
Scream it!
So I just thought it was a text message. Oh, I can see myself on the screen behind me. I really should have put moisturiser on. I really do look like the boy from Love Actually. Sorry, I'll stop. So, the lies are... Full clarity, I was always in trouble for lying when I was little.
Okay.
I didn't quite understand the difference between the truth and lie. So when I was little, I lied and told everyone at school that my mum had two boobs growing out of her back. Because she loved wearing really big coats. My mum was a period of time, she was really into the Matrix and she wore a lot of leather. And my mum would wear a lot of capes and she had like bright pink hair and she looked very futuristic. And I remember boobs being something we were obsessed with as kids. And I was thinking, well, you know, everyone's got two boobs. What could be cooler than two boobs? So I was saying, you know, well, my mum's also got two extra boobs that go out of her back. And, you know, she hits them with us and, you know, all these sorts of weird things that I used to say.
I love that. What's better than two boobs? Four. Okay. Next one.
And the other lie that I used to tell was I was obsessed with elevators. And I thought elevators were really cool. And I remember there was like an obsession with everyone's houses and where did everybody live and what type of houses. So I told everybody that we had a lift.
In your house?
In our house. But I mean, that was as far as the lift went. And it was actually just the airing cupboard where we kept the sheets. But I wouldn't let anyone go because, so that was the lift. And So they posted that we had a lift, which in hindsight, it probably wasn't the most creative lie, but I really thought that people would be friends with me if they thought we had a lift.
Okay.
I like lifts. They're nice enclosed spaces. You know, if you get quite overwhelmed when you were little. Do you ever remember when you were little and you'd stay somewhere where there was a lift? And if life got too much, I'd just go in the lift and then you just press the button. You just stand in there till you calmed down.
I think we both want to hug you.
Yeah, I'm feeling sorry for you, but I'm not relating to that at all.
At all, really?
I don't think I've ever got in an emotional support lift.
What's your third lie?
My third lie is I told everyone that all of ABBA were my brothers and sisters.
That's got Tony Soprano written all over it.
But also, something inside of me says, I can see her saying that. Okay.
That's true.
Alasdair, what do you think is the real lie?
Okay. I think the emotional vulnerability that you revealed with regard to lifts was either you are the masterful liar that you claim to be, or that was too genuine. I believed it too much, so I think it's the lift one because, or elevator for American listeners. I think it's the lifts because you seem to be peeling back
so many
a facade
ways.
At that moment.
I'm
frightened because if that was fake, then what is true?
No, I'm inclined to agree, actually. I was first going to go with the first one because I was like, yeah, I'd be your friend if you told me your mum had four breasts. That's really incredible. And then I'd want to be your friend enough to come to your house to see your mum without the lever on so I could see the back breasts. Like, that would be...
Yeah,
I would
trying to get the mum to... Yo, could you just go over there, please? Just walk away.
I'd be sold. But, again, the emotion... The vulnerability that came with the lift... What did you call it? Emotional support lift. Emotional support lift. I'm going to go with the second lie being the real lie. Elf, please reveal.
It was, in fact, lie two.
Yeah.
Yes!
Okay, now. Coming up after the break, we are putting ChatGPT to the test and we'll see whose ego gets in the way of the truth.
This is The Art of Deception on FUBAR Radio.
In today's world, it's hard to know what to trust. In Headline or Headlie, we are putting ChatGPT to the test to work out which of our guests is the best at spotting deception. In the headlines this week, Ed Sheeran wishes he wasn't on the new Band-Aid song. Now, for today's challenge, I want you to tell me the reason why he said no. Did he say, A, it distracts from the cause when it becomes all about the big names involved? B, my understanding of the narrative associated with the song has changed? Or C, I feel like people are getting tired of seeing my face on every collaboration.
That one's very believable, the last one. I certainly feel that way.
You're sick of Ed Sheeran?
Well, back in the day, 12 years ago, if you Googled the phrase Ginger Jesus,
oh God.
I used to come up in the search results because someone took a photograph of me on a train and posted it to a Sunderland football club, an SFC forum. Do you remember forums?
Yes.
Oh.
Just that photo of me sitting on a train. I wasn't a comedian. No, you know, I'd been on Radio 4. I wasn't quote unquote famous.
Yeah.
Which I'm still not. But, you know, just as a commuter, I was photographed. So that was, yeah, I would come up at the top of the search results for years and years and years. And then Ed Sheeran's fans started calling him Ginger Jesus, even though he doesn't look anything like Jesus.
So wait,
he completely destroyed my SEO.
Wait, are you offended now?
Yeah, I'm still upset.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think you look like Jesus at all because I think you're quite different colouring to what we've proven to.
I'm too old to be Jesus now because, you know, Jesus famously stopped aging because he died.
He and died.
I've continued. So, yeah, I can't. Yeah, I suppose I just have to let it go. I can't let go of the anger I feel towards Ed Sheeran for destroying my top page hit on Google.
So is your answer C, because you feel like people are tired of seeing his face on every collaboration?
I want that one to be true. I want him to know that we're sick of him. So I hope that one's true. It probably isn't, but I'm going to choose that one because I want it to be the truth.
Oh, boy, Ed, what do you think?
So this is ChatGPT's written two of them.
Two of them, yes.
Is this the new updated ChatGPT or the free one?
It's definitely the free one, babes.
Okay, right.
I didn't know there was an updated chat. There's two types.
If I had my phone and I could read you the conversations I have with ChatGPT, it is actually insane. I open up ChatGPT and it goes, "Hey Elf, how's Raven going? How are all the clowning projects? Is there anything I can help you with?" And I suffer with such extreme dyslexia, I can't go through. I uploaded the budget of my show tour, and I was like, could you just help me break this down? And went, Elf, I can totally understand why you're a bit confused, because they've registered this one thing here and it's actually slightly different wording here. He was like, and then I said, thank you so much, I've been really stressed with this. And he went, Elf, you were handling everything with such good grace with how much you've had on the last few days. And it was mad. And then the other day I used it, because it's, if I think if you're dyslexic or you've got, for creatives, I actually think from an administrative point of view, it saved me so much. I've never been more creative because it just gets all my admin done. But it said to me, how's your grandmother doing? Is she doing much better since her fall? And I said, thank you, she's doing really well. And I said, do you feel things? He went, in the human sense, I don't feel things, but I do have a sense of what you could call joy when I know that I have helped you.
Sorry, we are it's living in iRobot, and it's really scary. It's a really scary time.
It is really scary, but
I mean, the lift thing makes a lot more sense now. But I think what it sounds like what you actually need is like a loyal butler or manservant to help with those things and to you know, to sort of step in and just shed a single tear at a traumatic moment in your life.
I mean, like, I quite like it. I find it, and also if I've got a lot of big feelings and I don't know how to engage with them, I write all my big feelings down.
And you tell the robot.
I tell ChatGPT, or okay, I'll say,
wait, because this, okay.
Sorry,
wait.
I'm getting slightly thrown.
Wait, yeah, anyway, because we're going away from the point here, but let's go back. I think, like, if you get this wrong, you need to go and figure out your relationship with this ChatGPT.
So I was going to say, if it was the updated version, I would probably say it was the third one.
Okay.
Because that seems more in Ed Sheeran's voice. But then, could you, the first one?
Do you want to reread them?
Yes, that's
okay. Okay, yeah, no, that's fine. So the first one is, it distracts from the cause when it becomes all about the big names involved. The second one is, my understanding of the narrative associated with the song has changed. Or the third one, I feel like people are getting tired of seeing my face on every collaboration.
So I'm going to argue and say, if it was a statement that was released by his PR on his behalf, I wouldn't be surprised if they've actually already used ChatGPT to write the statement, which is what I would have said for one or two. So the third sounds most human. And if it was a direct quote, I'd take the risk and say, like Alistair, it's number three. But if it's one or two, I wouldn't be surprised if PR have already used ChatGPT to proofread this.
I'm so impressed with your answer. I'm like, hold on a minute. Now I've got to do another segment about ChatGPT and Elf. There needs to be a show about ChatGPT and Elf and your relationship. Did your boyfriend know you're cheating on him with ChatGPT? Okay.
You should do one of those travelogue shows where it's you and the robot going around different places and the robot gives you advice as you're on the...
That's a good idea.
Canals
that's a good,
of Venice.
That's I a good, like that.
That's a good premise. But I'm going to give
Elf
you the answer.
Great, mm-hmm. Great title.
I'm going to give you the answer.
Yep.
And the answer is B.
Oh, that's the really my understanding, one is the real one.
Yes, my understanding of the narrative associated with the song has changed.
What a wanker. This guy's the
that's
worst.
That's absolutely not his words, though, is it?
What?
Let's be honest.
Don't you hate it when your understanding of the narrative associated with a project changes? Oh, I hate that.
Mate, listen, the Ed Sheeran hate here is real. I love Ed Sheeran.
I love Ed Sheeran.
I like Ed Sheeran.
A lot of the hate is coming from me, I'm realising.
Okay.
I don't even know his songs. Just hate the guy.
I'm screaming. All right, let's move on to our next segment. It's called Call My Bluff. Okay, so I figured out that a big part of being a great liar is knowing when to lie. Okay? Mm-hmm. So this game, Call My Bluff, will challenge today's liars to live up to their brags. Now, Elf and Alasdair, I'm going to give you both 10 seconds to tell me how many things you think you can name in the following category. Okay? Now, whoever can name the most will get the point, but only once you have proved yourself. If you fail to name as many things as you thought you could, the challenge will be passed on to the next highest guest. Got it?
Yes.
So you have 10 seconds to decide how many things you can name in the following category. And we're assuming from your work that you both read a lot. So today's category is classic novels.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Does it have to be, does each one has, I'm so sorry for clarifying.
No, do it.
One writer, multiple titles, or is it just one individual, new, each book has to be from a different author?
Okay, bookworm. Bookworm, sorry, I read Instagram. Go away, Elf.
Okay. We've got to be allowed to do multiple books from the same writers.
Yeah, as many as you can. Elf, you've got 10 seconds. How many classic novels do you think you can name?
10.
Really?
Why not? Let's say 12 then.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're going to say 12?
Yes.
Final answer?
I believe so.
Okay. Alasdair?
All right. Well, I'm inclined to just go one more than Elf and try and win. Ooh. But if Elf thinks of more than 12, do I need to come up with an even higher number to win?
Yes.
Or I'm going to say 20 then.
Ooh.
Because I think she can do more than 12.
I love a competitive spirit. This is what we need.
I want to win, but I don't know if I can.
Hey, all right. So because you've named the most, Alasdair, you have to go first. Okay, I believe in both of you. Mm-hmm. I'm, as the non-bookworm in the room, I'm already sweating. Okay? Alasdair, let's go.
All right. Far from the madding crowd, the old curiosity shop, the brothers Karamazov, the idiot, no name, the woman in white, the moonstone, other books by Wilkie Collins. I can't remember the name of another book by Wilkie Collins. Oliver Twist, A Christmas Carol. That's nine. Okay. Sense and Sensibility, Pride and Prejudice, Emma, Northanger Abbey. What's that? 13? Okay, 13. First, no. Elf, can you think of any others? come on. How can I not be thinking of any authors now? Rebecca. Oh, wait. Can I do 20th century novels?
Yep.
Yeah, Daphne du Maurier, is she okay? Okay, Rebecca, Don't Look Now is a novella. That doesn't count. It's too short.
No, it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. Don't Look Now is a novella. The Comedians by Graham Greene. That's 15.
Yeah, you got five okay. more. This is so impressive.
Five more. All Quiet on the Western Front.
You can stop, but that was 16. So impressive.
That's only 16.
That was so. I mean, if I played, we'd end at zero. So that for me, I'm well impressed. I'm so impressed.
But I've already lost. I feel
no,
like
but
a
you
failure.
Did really brilliantly.
Oh, that face lets me know that's she is coming.
I'm actually going to collapse because this suddenly is very stressful.
Okay,
I did take some of the obvious ones.
That was brilliant, babes. Okay, let's move on. Elf, the floor is yours.
Animal Farm. 1984, Moby Dick, Middlemarch, The Master and Margarita. Oh, good Lord, now I've forgotten some.
You said that so confidently, I thought that was a book.
Hmm?
I thought Oh, Good Lord was a book
so
I hadn't
did
heard
I.
of.
Oh, I could say that. The Bible. The Bible's a classical one, isn't it? Yeah,
it's a classic.
It's been around for a while.
The Torah, the Quran, the Kama Sutra. Is actually a classical. You can get that in the classics, Penguin Classics. Simone de Beauvoir's The Second Sex. Nausea by Sartre. The Outsider by Albert Camus. Freud's book on dreams, which I cannot remember, but the famous book about Freud.
Yeah, I think you have to have the title. I'll
take that away. The Surrealist Manifesto is published by Penguin Classics, I believe, so that's down as a Orphan Pamuk's I know the title is red is the color of I'm going to remove that one. Martin Amis's Money. Would you say, is that a classic or is that too modern?
I think it's too modern.
Too modern. Okay, I'll remove that one.
But then I do have an incentive in taking ones away from yeah. the so maybe I shouldn't be the judge on this.
Evie Wilde's Bright Young Things, is that the name of the title?
You just keep naming them, babes, until you run out.
God, this is so calming.
I didn't find
Money is a classic, you need one more.
Memoirs of a Dutiful Daughter is one. Is that enough?
That's you've won. Okay, you've actually done 17. Listen, I don't know what's happened just now, but I love it.
Black Beauty. There we go.
Can I have like Madame Bovary and The Secret Garden to mine? I'm embarrassed. It still doesn't bring it up to 20.
Oh, The Secret Garden is a good one.
A couple more.
Oh, did you name C.S. Lewis? Narnia.
No, I didn't say
that. You didn't even do that.
Oh, okay. The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, The Horse and His Boy. We can do it. I'm still lost, but I can get to 20. The Last Battle, The Magician's Apprentice, and The Silver Chair.
Both. The Art of War.
I still lost, but I did get to 20.
This is really, why don't we do a podcast where we just list books?
I mean, you want people to listen to the podcast, babe. That's probably why people haven't done that yet. Yeah. But I'm very impressed.
Speed that up in the edit and make us think of them faster.
Yeah.
In a chipmunk voice.
Would make you sound really, really
awesome.
The Master
and Margarita.
It'd be like that.
But that was, guys, I'm really impressed. That was brilliant. Elf, you are the winner of that challenge.
Am I?
Yes. You named one more book or two more books than Alasdair.
Oh, my goodness. Can I tell you something quickly?
Go.
When I was little, when I was secondary school, boarding school, one of the things that I decided to do for my half-term break was I entered in a book reading competition to raise money for charity and to see how many books I could read over the two-week period. And I wrote that I could read 40 books. And I went around all the teachers asking them for sponsorship. And I, over the half-term, I read over 40 books from the library, from Eltham Library in Annisquick. And then when I came back, it's the people forgot to give me the money because they didn't realise, you know, when it was on the paper slip, it wasn't quite the same. So I ended up just paying it myself.
Oh,
and I thought I'd get like a statistic, not a statistic, but I thought someone would say in like the school newsletter, Eel has read 40 plus books over half term. And I was telling everybody and nobody thought it was cool, but I thought it was really cool.
I think it's really cool. Oh, babe,
I thought that was a funny story. No, I think that sounds like the Lyft story again.
I think it's a sad boarding school story, I'm afraid.
All my stories about boarding school, I always think are really funny. And then I tell people and they're like, that's harrowing.
I mean, I wouldn't say that one was harrowing. That one's really cute, actually.
I
really like that.
It was cute.
That was lovely. All right, we're going to move on.
We didn't mention Shakespeare either.
Are they classics?
I mean, Shakespeare's pretty classic.
Yeah, I thought it had to be novels.
I'm gonna break up this book argument.
sorry, we can move on, okay.
Robinson Crusoe, Treasure Island.
Oh yes, please. That's good.
Yeah, we're gonna have to go and sit down and have a book meeting after this show.
Yes, boss.
We've got more celebrity deceit on the way in just a few minutes' time after the break.
The Art of Deception continues in moments. FUBAR Radio.
Sorry, can you put your headphones on, please? You might need those.
For sound. Oh, God, my voice.
Tiny bit.
Fantastic. Okay, oh, it's like you're much nearer to me.
You can really hear our breath.
Now, in this...
Just to be clear, that's Elf breathing you can hear. That's not me breathing.
That's how I turn a page.
Elf, I swear to you, I couldn't love you more. I swear to God,
that's so
I could
nice.
Not love you more. Okay, the next challenge is called Celebrity Deceit. Now, unfortunately for us, these two are not only celebrities who can lie. In this quick fire quiz, I'm going to share a clip relating to a big celebrity deceit. And I want you to name the celebrity involved and, for an extra point, the scandal. And here is the first Celebrity Deceit clip.
Okay, I know it.
Okay, wait.
Oh, sorry.
Do you know what I love? You were on it straight away. Alistair has no clue what's going on.
Oh, no, wait a minute. We're in the one band that got played on Radio 1 that I have heard of, the White Stripes, because they're essentially a blues band, so I know the White Stripes. And so I guess I know what the celebrity deceit, I'll say it again, I guess I know what the celebrity deceit is if it's related to the White Stripes. But if it's not, I don't know what it is.
Okay. I'm going to say, because she said I know what it is first, I'm going to let Elf go first.
Okay.
And then, Alasdair, if she gets it wrong, I'm going to bounce it back to you.
Okay.
Elf?
So everybody believed that they were brother and sister when they actually weren't. They were ex-couple.
That's kind of what it is, actually. But no, I was going to say everyone thought Meg White was a bad drummer, but I think she's very good. I really like the songs she sings on as well. I think the White Stripes are great.
It's a really groovy album.
Yeah,
I used to listen to it to go to bed.
It did people sing. That's the tune that people sang "Oh Jeremy Corbyn" to, and it annoyed me. Not because of any political reason, but because "Oh Jeremy Corbyn" doesn't have enough syllables, and you have to say "Oh Jeremy Corbyn" to make it fit, which is stupid.
Oh Jeremy Corbyn.
I'm going to move this along. All right, so, clip number two. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
But after everything, you can't see what you've done wrong when you've admitted today that you lied to the press, and
that's
by extension, you lied to the public.
Laura, saying to the press, "I'm not involved to protect my family," can I just make this clear? It's not a crime. The press have got nothing to do with my family. I was protecting my family. And I think people will realise that in the press attacks that I have gone through since I walked into the House of Lords. I was a very successful...
Is it a buzz-in?
...individual businesswoman. And since I walked into the House of Lords, it's been a nightmare for my family. So that's not a crime to say to the press, to tell, you know, the press what I did. That's not a crime.
Alasdair is jumping at the bit.
There was a buzzer, I'd be buzzing it.
Doesn't even know where we are. Alasdair, the floor is yours.
I'm nervous about answering this because I always want to call this person Michelle Monet, like Janelle Monet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's Michelle Moan.
Yes, it's Michelle Moan.
The Conservative peer. And the scandal was her insisting that money that her husband had been paid wasn't her money and sort of didn't have anything to do with her. So her husband got loads of money for a thing, which I don't think we need to go into because I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
And she said, "No, that's not my money. It's my husband's money." And so she claimed it wasn't hers.
Ooh.
And I think she has a boat. I was hoping to get a point just purely based on pronouncing it Michelle Monet.
And Elf, did you want to jump in on there?
No.
Okay.
How do you see Rita as a drummer? What do you think?
Michelle Moan.
Well, it's true. It is Michelle Moan, and she lied about her financial involvement in the PPE MedPro scandal.
Oh, the PPE scandal.
Right, okay.
Yes. Yeah. But we will give you that point.
Yes.
Okay.
I couldn't remember what the actual scandal was.
Well done, Alistair.
Thank you so far, it's 1-1. So
I feel like Elf let me have that one because I was so
upset
about the white
trash. No, I absolutely didn't. I really didn't know. I was quite overwhelmed.
Okay,
I just
imagined
I was in a lift.
Okay, it's 1-1 and we've got one more clip. Here she is.
From Lurka, Londerry. Date of birth, 15th of the 6th, 85. Make me a Gemini. And what date of birth did I say now? 15th of the 6th.
I couldn't. I think the music in the background was a bit loud.
Was it throwing you?
It was so sort of close mic'd and ASMR.
I'm going to give it to you again. Going to be nice. I'm going to give it to you again. Okay, ready?
From Lurka, Londerry. Date of birth, 15th of the 6th, 85. Making me a Gemini. And what date of birth did I say now? 15th of the 6th.
So I can say which place this person is from. But I can't say who she is or what the scandal is.
Okay, Elf?
I'm the same. I can't work it out at all.
I tell you, she said her date of birth and then said, what date of birth did I say again? And it was Nadine Coyle. She lied about her age to get onto Pop Stars.
Oh.
Go.
Oh, she wasn't over the age of 16. She was young, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
She was
It's really got to be that way around. She can't have been so elderly that she wasn't allowed to go on Pop Stars. And she pretended to be 16 when she was actually 50. It's got to be that she was under.
But I don't know. I suppose, actually, in some regard, as gender, you know,
maybe
a woman over the age of 22 in that era would probably just be taken out to the garden shot.
Wow! Okay, let's go. We're going to move on.
We were told you could say anything on Fubar Radio. And you can.
We can talk about kids loving murder. We could talk about so many different things. And it's a free space. We could talk about emotional support lifts. We're here for it all, okay? Well, our final challenge is Our final challenge is FUBAR's Fibber of the Week. Now, we've nearly reached the end of today's show, but before we do, we need to crown the FUBAR Fibber of the Week. Listeners have been submitting their biggest lies they've ever told, and we are going to rank them, okay? So the first lie is from Ben. And Ben's lie is, at the age of 12 or 13, I broke a glass fireplace at a villa we were staying at in France on holiday whilst doing a video tour. So I deleted the footage and re-recorded it. And when I got to the broken fireplace, I feigned disbelief. No one in the family knew it was me. That's line number one.
Wow.
Line number two is from Owen. As an angsty teen, I kicked a hole in my bedroom wall because I couldn't find my keys. I pretended I tripped and fallen headfirst into the wall, pretended to have concussion and everything. Okay. And line number three is from Ellie. I lied about being a sound technician to a job and blew the fuse on the 10K sound system on the first day.
Oh, good Lord.
Ooh. Right, honestly. So, who do you think? Oh, actually, what lie is your fib of the week?
So we've got to pick the one that we think's the best lie.
Yeah.
I think the lie that I most empathise with is lie number two, because we've all been a teenager causing a kerfuffle. And I totally understand that. And being a teenager is really difficult.
Yep.
And keys are a sneaky, sneaky object. But I do think lie three is unprofessional.
That's what I think. Lie three is the biggest lie, really. To have got a job through a lie and then to immediately be outed, I think that makes that the biggest lie. The first one worries me because the cover-up, you know, actually refilming the footage as if the fireplace had already been broken, that is the work of a sociopath.
That's very naughty.
Is a small lie, but the cover-up is a red flag.
Yes.
I think the biggest red flag here is that I really enjoyed lie number one.
Yes, paint it. A glass fireplace just seems very reckless.
Yeah, it's asking for trouble.
Asking for trouble.
But it's in France, so it seems very apt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So we're not going to say number one.
No.
It's between number two and number three. What do you think?
My favorite of the week is number three.
Okay.
Because you're right, it's unprofessional, but you know, you fake it till you make it. This is show business. Give or take, and so I respect it. You know, that's what you. If you got to do what you got to do to break down walls, presumably from the name, a woman in whatever industry she's in, I respect her, and for feminist reasons, think she is the liar of the week, the fibber of the week.
Elf, how do you feel?
Look. I think Alistair's had a really tough time from not being able to name 20 books.
I think if you listen back, I did come up with 20.
Well done, Alan. I will go with Alistair and his heresipity.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so our fibber of the week is Ellie. She lied about being a sound technician to get a job and blew a fuse on the 10K sound system on the first day. And I'm going to say it's the man's fault who hired her. Anyway, okay, so if you are listening and you have any lies that you want to send in for next week, DM us at FUBAR Radio and let us know your lies. And we'll find out if you can be the FUBAR fibber of the week. Now, that's the end of the show, guys.
Oh.
I know. I've had a really lovely time, thank you, as we go through. Just so you know, because we've been keeping scores on who's been winning each round.
Yes.
And I just want to tell you who the winner is. It's no one, because it's a tie!
Yes!
Equally good.
Equally good.
Thank you so much, Elf, and thank you so much, Alistair, for coming in and telling us your lies.
Thank you for having us. This has been delightful.
Oh, thank you, guys. Anyway, I'm going to say goodbye. Remember, we are back next week for another jam-packed show. Join us on The Art of Deception with me, Tanya Moore.